Welcome back to Central Standard. I'm Brian Ellison. When I first visited Kansas City a little over 14 years ago, I remember my friend Gene showing me around. He told me that Kansas City was the city of fountains, and he drove me through town, Midtown and the Plaza, and Northland and different neighborhoods, and he'd point them out by name, the Nichols Fountain, the Children's Fountain. Their beauty and variety, the way they change colors for sports teams and causes, the way we all have a favorite, they really are as much a part of us as barbecue and jazz, but the icons come with a cost. Time and elements and, well, all that water take a toll on the fountains, and that in turn takes a toll on the pocketbook, the parks department's budget, the city's coffers. Even that may not be enough. Joining us to speak to us some truths about the city's fountains is Mark McHenry. He's the director of Parks and Recreation for Kansas City, Missouri. Welcome to you, Mark.
Good morning.
You'll be our resident fountain guru today. So it turns out there's more to maintaining fountains than just turning them on in the morning and turning them off at night, huh?
That is correct. As you mentioned earlier, moisture, of course, is involved. They're pumping water, and there's moving parts with that, of course, pumps and motors. And, of course, the fountains are all outdoors, and they take their toll, you know, the hot summer months, and then, of course, the cold winter months, so freezing and thawing and things like that. So
it's almost a wonder you can keep them running at all, actually, given the challenges of outdoor equipment in a place like Kansas City.
Well, it really is, and every spring we get them ready to go and clean them out and do some necessary repairs, and we always kick that off in the early part of April, and then they run through the season.
Do you have dedicated fountain staff who spend all their time working on the fountains, or are these the same people who also have to worry about the plumbing in the bathroom and the leaves in the storm drains?
Well, it's a dedicated crew, but it's the same crew that takes care of things like swimming pools, which are similar because that's all something that happens in the summer months. And there again, the plumbing and the motors and the pumps. And so we have a skilled crews that do that, and they spend a great deal of their summer maintaining the fountains.
We're going to talk a little bit about some of the ways that our listeners might be able to be involved in taking care of the city's fountains here in a little while. But walk us through kind of what happens on a daily basis before we get to the breaking down fountains. What goes into keeping a fountain running well? How do you take care of a fountain?
Well, there's a variety of different kinds of materials in a fountain, different kinds of stone, some granite, some marble, some concrete. And, of course, that all takes maintenance. There's a lot of joints where you have to do the caulking and things of that nature. And we talked earlier, they're all operating by pumps and motors. And, of course, motors are electrical driven, so you have electrical components. You have time clocks to turn them on and off. We have something called an anemometer, which is actually a control on the wind. So if the wind picks up, the fountain will actually lower the level of water, and that's a control mechanism,
wow,
too.
Wow. That's fascinating. I had no idea that they pay attention to how hard the wind's blowing.
Exactly.
How much does all this cost? Typically, can you figure it out that way? How much does it cost to keep a fountain running?
Well, for the 48 fountains in our system right now, the electrical bill just to run the electricity is about $170,000 a year for the electricity. And then for the labor, equipment, and material, which is the crews that are out there doing the routine, weekly, daily maintenance, it's in the neighborhood of about $600,000.
Okay. How much water do they use?
They use a lot of water. I don't know the exact amount of volume, but you fill them up, and, of course, through evaporation and the wind, you do lose water, so you're always replenishing the water to some degree. And fortunately, our water services department is providing that water for us.
And obviously there's energy consumed as well, thinking about the first half of our show today.
Right.
Take a fountain then like the J.C. Nichols fountain. Is it possible to sort of talk about the economic, the cost and benefit of a fountain like that for the city?
Well, we think the benefit far exceeds the cost. A fountain like that, as I mentioned, is going to have the electrical charges and the pumps and the motors. Also, in a fountain like the J.C. Nichols, you have bronze. And, of course, the bronze statuary is very important. There's a care required for that, too, to clean it and wax it and keep it in good shape. And then, of course, you have to go down and take care of the litter and trash that might accumulate in the fountain, which is an ongoing cost. But, you know, a fountain like that is very, very beautiful in nature, provided initially by the J.C. Nichols family who provided that fountain. And, of course, people enjoy. They walk around. The movement of the water and the pleasing aspect of that is very important. And so do believe that the benefit far exceeds the cost.
I want to invite our listeners to be part of the conversation. What do you think about our fountains? They're obviously beautiful. They're obviously expensive. Are they worth it to you? Are you concerned about the condition of a fountain near you? Give us a call at 816-235-235. 2888. That's 235-2888. You can also email us at centralstandard@kcur.org. Also, tweet us your favorite fountain. We'd love to hear from you. Our Twitter handle is KCURCST. It's KCURCST. Give us a scorecard, Mark McHenry from the Parks and Recreation Department. How are our fountains doing overall? How would you grade them?
Well, we have a little work to be done right now, and I'll use a little bit of delineation of the different conditions of the different 48 fountains. About half of them are in pretty good shape, so that's a quick 24 that are in pretty good shape. And the other 24, we have some challenges. 8 of those 24 we consider in need of some attention to get them back to where they need to be. And we have 8 of them that have been identified throughout the city, and each one of those needs some major capital expenses. We do have some city funds to contribute toward those capital maintenance, but it's not nearly enough. And these are capital dollars independent of the operating dollars I mentioned earlier. In those 8 locations throughout the city, we've identified fountains that need some help. The City of Fountains Foundation, which is a group that was formed 40 years ago to help promote and help continue to keep that moniker of Kansas City, City of Fountains, is stepping forward to have a fundraising effort to raise some money from the corporate and in the private world to help maintain those. And a couple examples of that, the Volcker Fountain, which isn't far from the studios here.
Right. And that's the one for folks who may not know. It's on Volcker, just south of the Nelson Atkins Museum.
Exactly right, and there's 2 levels. There's an upper level, looks pretty good as you drive down Volcker, but there's a second half of that fountain that overlooks Brush Creek. Well, the pumps and the motors need to be replaced, so that part of the fountain actually is not even operating right now. So we need some significant dollars to repair that.
What are some of the other big name and for that matter, big money needs in the fountains of Kansas City?
The Meyer Circle Fountain, which is also known as a Seahorse Fountain on Meyer and Ward Parkway. That's the fountain that everybody relates to as they go around the traffic circle. That needs some attention. The Nichols Fountain, as we mentioned earlier, needs some attention. There's a fountain called the Seville Light, which is right across from the Nichols there on the edge of the plaza that hasn't actually worked for a couple of years. It's a light tower, so you see it from a distance. It looks fine, but the mechanics of that is not operating.
It's supposed to be shooting water.
Exactly. Yeah, that part's not happening. And that's all back to the pumps and motors. And, you know, all these fountains have underground vaults where they keep all this equipment. And, of course, you can imagine an underground vault where the moisture accumulates and you've got heat building up. And so that's where you don't see the problems because they're below ground.
I have to say I saw this list of these fountains that you said need some work, and there were some costs associated with that. Half a million for one fountain, half a million for another. Mm-hmm. It starts to feel a little bit alarming, actually.
Well, it really does, and the total of those needs for those 8 fountains is in far little excess of $2.5 million. And the city's got about $250 to contribute toward that from capital, but that leaves you the other 90% of costs to come from other sources. And the price tag builds up pretty quickly because, as I mentioned earlier, some of the equipment necessary to make those repairs. And the half-circle fountain, the entrance to Swope Park is on that list. The children's fountain, as you mentioned earlier, Brian, up in the Northland, that's been there since 1995. It needs some attention. And the average age of those 8 fountains happens to be about 47 years old, too. So they're got a little history behind them, a little age behind them.
What's the oldest fountain in Kansas City?
The oldest fountain is what's called the Women's Leadership Fountain.
Okay.
That's located over on the Paseo and up at the median there in the area from Independence Avenue South is where it's located.
Okay.
Fortunately, through the efforts of the Central Exchange and the Kansas City, Missouri Park Board, that fountain was restored a couple years ago. It's in pretty good shape. But that fountain was 100 years old.
Wow.
And so it's actually in pretty good shape.
Were fountains serving the same purpose 100 years ago? Were they just to be pleasing to the eye, or did they have a more practical purpose?
They had a more practical purpose. Some of the earlier fountains were a place where, you know, as we know the city was at the turn of the century, everybody was, having horses pull their carriages and their buggies and their wagons. So the horses, they were going up and down the boulevard, had to have a stop place to get a drink. So they were watering holes, basically.
Yeah.
So they had a much more practical function at that point. And some of those fountains are still here today. Now we've added some different features to them. And so that's how they got started. And then they've worked into a more aesthetic part of it. And another part of that is, too, the Mirror Pool on Ward Parkway, the Concourse Fountain up in the northeast area, those are reflecting pools. And people used to sail boats on those. So you didn't have the
toy boats.
Toy boats.
Yeah,
yes.
Okay.
Yes, toy
they're
boats.
They're not that big.
No, they're a little. Yeah, toy boats. Exactly right. And so that's how they were utilized.
Well, if you love the Kansas City fountains, and if you have any questions or worries about the future of Kansas City's fountains, give us a call at 816-235-2888, 235-2888. Let's talk to Sam in Kansas City, Missouri. Sam, welcome to Central Standard. Did we lose Sam? Sam's not with us anymore. You know, I guess I wonder, Mark, I don't know how long you've been in this role or how long you've lived in Kansas City, but fountains seem to have such a central role in people's identity as far as the identity of the city as they think about it. Why do you think that is?
Well, I think that people really enjoy the urban life in relationship to the outdoor environment, whether it's fountains or sculptures or monuments or some of the great public art throughout our city. And then again, we see them in parks as a place that you can, like I said, they can be calm and reflecting. They can be joyful. A lot of people get married by fountains. A lot of people take pictures at fountains for other kinds of special occasions. You know, the fountain that sits in the middle of the Rose Garden in Loose Park. We do a couple hundred weddings a year at that location, so people can relate to that. And then again, they're free to everybody. You don't have to pay to see a fountain or spend time there. You can do it on your own. And so I think people really appreciate the opportunity to get out. And you know, I think as you get even beyond Kansas City, people talk about fountains in other cities. You know, we've kind of compared ourselves to Rome, and some people say that we have as many fountains as Rome, and I think we do, actually. And
do we know that for sure? I mean, I've heard that as well. Is that a documented fact?
Well, my own personal observation says yes. I actually spent a little time in Rome a couple years ago, and I saw a lot of fountains. and I don't think I ever got to 48. I will say that a lot of fountains in some of these older European cities don't operate, too. And, of course, I realize, you know, that's a whole other time frame than Kansas City's time frame.
But, yeah, right. Another 200 years, they'll probably right. have them back up.
Yeah.
I do want to ask you, Mark, about the upcoming event that the festival mm-hmm. that the foundation is putting
yes.
on, the
mm-hmm.
Festival of Fountains. What mm-hmm. That's coming up on June 9th. What is that?
Well, what it is it's two things, actually. The City of Fountains Foundation, I mentioned earlier, is having their 40th anniversary celebration, and that's going to be down at Union Station. And that kicks off around the noon hour and runs through the latter part of the day. And they're going to have family fun activities for all ages to enjoy and participate in through the entertainment and food and drink and a variety of activities associated with that. And so they're having basically a big birthday party, and they're inviting the public. It's free, good parking locations. It's going to be a beautiful day, so come on down and enjoy that. And then at the same time, they're going to be kicking off this fundraising effort we talked about earlier and let individuals know how they can become part of that effort and help preserve our city of fountains.
It's one of my favorite fountains down there at Union Station, the yeah. Block mm-hmm. Fountain.
Exactly.
We had a listener, Justice, who asks by email at centralstandard@kcur.org, could you please address why so many of Kansas City's public fountains do not recirculate the water in the basin, but instead constantly drain the water into the sewer and refill with fresh water? I find it wasteful and expensive. Is that true? Do a lot of our fountains do that?
Well, the bulk of our fountains do recirculate the water. We have some small fountains that I would consider to be more of a birdbath kind of a fountain where that is water that is not recirculated. But that's a minor amount of water. But all of the major fountains that I spoke about earlier and have recirculating water. So there's an underground vault where the water is recirculated. Now, there is some loss, of course, to evaporation and wind. But the water is recirculated in most
cases.
So
when you see the drain on the bottom of the fountain, it's not draining to the storm drain. It's mm-hmm. draining to the...
It's draining to an underground pit, basically.
Okay. Beverly in Kansas City, Missouri is with us. Beverly, welcome to the program.
Hi there.
What's your question
Hello?
For Mark McHenry? Hello.
I've always wondered about the restaurants on the plaza that utilize the fountains as part of their decor for the city, their seating outside. And I wondered if they provide any financial maintenance towards the fountains.
Yeah, certain businesses are benefiting from fountains more than others. Do they contribute to the costs, Mark?
Well, at this point, not directly. And there again, some of the fountains that you would see in the plaza area are private fountains. If some of the courtyards in front of the restaurants and the shops that are off the public way would be privately operated fountains. And so there's not really a direct connection. The fountains that we talked about earlier, like the Nichols, which is on the edge of the plaza, is maintained by our park system.
Beverly, thanks for the call. Her question sort of raises the broader set of questions about how we are paying for these costs. And you've mentioned that the benefits may well outweigh those costs, but still they are a line in the budget somewhere. How much of this is taxpayers and how much of this is other sources?
Well, for the most part, the ongoing maintenance is taxpayers' funds, which is dedicated. And we do want to always thank the voters of Kansas City that approved a half-cent sales tax last August for the upkeep and maintenance of our park and boulevard system, and a lot of that goes for routine park maintenance, the mowing the grass kind of things. But also that's part of maintaining our fountains. The foundation has endowments for some of these fountains. They've raised funds over the years. And a lot of that's when they first built the fountains. They set aside some funds that would be an endowment that you could pull the interest from to maintain them. So half of these fountains I mentioned earlier actually have endowments. And you mentioned, Brian, the Block Fountain, for example, which is a beautiful fountain in front of Union Station. That was built by the Block Foundation, and they built for the cost of that they paid for. But they also have an endowment. So if there's any maintenance to do to that fountain, we don't have to go to the taxpayers. Huh. The generosity of that foundation maintains that fountain. And that's a great example of that. There's a fountain down on Main Street that is funded by the Kemper Foundation, for example. And they have an endowment, and they pay for that. So we're fortunate to have those two examples. The fountains at Starlight Theater, for example, part of the Park and Boulevard system, is coming from funds from the Starlight Theater Association. So we have some of those that are being taken care of, but not all of them.
Yeah.
Except about half the list.
Yeah. Bill in Waldo called us at 816-235-2888, 235-2888. Bill, welcome to Central Standard.
Hi. Yeah, I just had a question. If you had the dollar figure on how much we could save by just turning all the fountains off for a year, like in a year, what's it cost?
Well,
to run fountains?
Yeah.
Yeah, good question, Bill. Is there a simple answer to that, Mark?
The simple answer I have is about $600,000.
Bill, do you think that's a good idea?
I do, considering we're broke, right? I keep hearing that, you know, the city doesn't have any money for this or that or the other thing. I love our fountains. I really do. And, that seems like, something we could do without if we had better streets or schools or etc.
Fair enough. Mark McHenry, you mentioned that the budget for the fountains and for the parks, those are dedicated funds, right?
They are dedicated funds. That's correct.
So you couldn't just take that $600,000 and put it in some other budget line?
Well, technically probably, but there again, I think when you look at the overall city budget, which is, you know, far excess of $1 billion, $600,000 for what benefit is out there is important. And I understand there is pressing priorities and needs in the city, and we understand that, but in the business that we're in the parks and recreation business, we think that outdoor space and some of the nice things offered by that are important to our quality of life.
816-235-2888. Jake in South Kansas City, welcome to the program.
Yes, good morning, and finally some sunshine, and if we can keep it dry for 3 or 4 days, it'd just be wonderful.
Go out and enjoy the fountains. What's your question, Jake?
Just an observation, Swope Memorial is an underutilized asset in that big fountain up there. It's just stunning, and I think you guys refurbished it within the last 4 or 5 years, Swope Memorial. It's just an amazing asset to the city.
Well, thank you for that comment. You're absolutely right. That's up there by the golf course. It's got a beautiful view looking from that fountain. We did refurbish it. We did some of the plumbing, put some new lights on it, and also, you may or may not know that that location where the fountain is also the mausoleum where Colonel Swope is buried at that location.
Well, how about that, Jake? Did you know you were visiting a gravesite as well as enjoying a fountain? But Jake is not with us anymore, but thank you for the call, Jake. Mark, what's your personal favorite fountain?
My personal favorite is the Children's Fountain.
In the Northland.
Yeah, in the Northland. And the reason that's special, it's done bronzes by Tom Corbin. And each one of those bronze figures depicts a particular individual that modeled for that. And each one's coming from a different walk of life, whether they're showing the young ladies or the young men that are on that. And I know it's involved in that. It's actually the models did it. And Thomas obviously did a great job on the sculpture. And the other important thing, that was a grassroots effort to build that fountain, to raise the necessary resources through leadership in this community to make that happen. And there again, the Fountain Foundation helped, and then the leadership of the Northland made that possible to happen. And it's a beautiful fountain. And it has a theme. It's all about children. And, of course, we have to appreciate what children are in our future.
You mentioned that was on the list of the fountains that need some serious work. What's wrong right now?
Well, what we're facing up there is that we have some deterioration of some of the stone associated with that. There's some natural stone that needs to be replaced. And it's not a big price tag, but it's one of them that needs some attention. And there again, an example earlier, we have the underground vault that has the pumps and the motors that need some attention done to it. And that's one of the younger fountains. I mentioned the 47-year age relationship to all these fountains. That one's only been there for 18. And so it does need a lot, but it does need and to preserve and protect. And we don't want it to get to the situation like some of these where it's not operating. So we want to make sure it's in good shape. And then and fountain years are kind of like dog years. I mean, they're not like one for one, so they deteriorate right. A little bit more than they would. So,
I know that that's a lot of folks' favorite fountain in town. My personal favorite is one I don't hear mentioned very often. It's up off of I-35 at North Oak. I believe that's Anita Gorman Park.
That is exactly right. That's the Northland Fountain. That was built with another grassroots effort in the community led by Anita Gorman, and they're again located at Vivian and Oak. And that's a good story because at one time that corner was going to be commercial development, and through the leadership of her and other Northland leaders, that land was then acquired to become parkland. So now it's nice, beautiful green space, and the fountain is right there in the corner. The other nice thing about that fountain is we designed that fountain to operate in the winter months, so it doesn't have the bronze statuary.
Right. That's actually what I like most about it. When the water is freezing, it starts to build these sort of crystal-like shapes.
It is gorgeous when it freezes. It looks like a big frozen bundt cake or something like that, the way it's structured. And then the neat thing about that is, you know, we talk about having to pump the motors and stuff. And once you get an ice sculpture in place, you can actually shut the motors off because then you've got an ice sculpture there. And then the lights are still there to reflect through the ice. And so it gives it that 12-month of operation. Mm.
The event coming up this Sunday, June 9th, 11 a.m. in front of Union Station. What else can folks expect to encounter there? Why might they want to bring their family down to that event?
Well, they have face painting. They're going to have the folks from Legoland over there to do some Lego sculpture associated with that. They're going to have the marching cobras at that location. They're going to have the Starlight Stars, which are going to be providing some music and entertainment associated with that. And there's a coloring book opportunity for some of the young kids. There's going to have some other musical performances. They're going to have all kinds of food vendors and people that can, you know, enjoy the outdoor activities. Leading up to that on that day, there's going to be a bike ride around the city. If you want to ride a bike, you can see 25 fountains. And then they're going to have trolley rides. So if you want to see all the fountains in our city and have a guided tour on a trolley, you'll have an interpreter on that trolley with you to talk to you about the history of these fountains. They can participate in that at the same time.
Boy, that sounds like a great day. We had an email from one of our earlier callers, Grover, who works with pumps, and he said that shutting a pump off requires more maintenance after turning them off for a long period of time, so shutting down the fountains for a year might actually be counterproductive.
Well, exactly, and then you got to, because they'll freeze up on you is what happens, so you got to bump them to get them started. So, yeah, keeping them operating, if you had to bring it back, would be difficult.
Well, Mark, you'll be pleased to hear the one other comment we got from Sam, who says he thinks $600,000 is a drop in the bucket. The fountains beautify the city, and he wholeheartedly disagrees with a caller who said we should turn them off. So, good news for you, Mark.
Thank you.
That's Mark McHenry. He's Director of Parks and Recreation for Kansas City, Missouri. Thanks so much for being with us today.
You're welcome, Brian.
You can, our listeners can find out more about this by visiting our website. You can also subscribe to our podcast or hear this conversation again. It's at kcur.org. Tune in tomorrow as we explore the story of Union soldiers who pursued the guerrilla fighters of Missouri in the Civil War. That's on our history show on Central Standard Friday. The music at the top of the show today was from the alt-hip-hop group Arrested Development. Up to Date is coming next with yoga master Max Strom and the Weekend To-Do List. Central Standard is produced by Matthew Long Middleton with Suzanne Hogan. Our interns are Claire McInerney, Ross Steinmetz, and Sangeeta Shastri. I'm Brian Ellison. This is KCUR.